Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out. We'll get things started. We do have a quorum. So the first item on our agenda will be the approval of the April 19th CAC meeting minutes. If you have had a chance to look over them and we have a motion on the floor to approve, I'll take those now.
We have a motion to, approve.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. For the June 22nd, we did not have a quorum for the approval of the minutes, so we can approve those now. Do we have a motion on the floor?
I motion to approve the June 22nd meeting minutes.
A second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you all so much. And I may have skipped the approval of the agenda, so I apologize. Do we have a motion on the floor for that as well?
I approve of the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you, guys. First up on our status reports is the 2050 MTP update. I believe this is just for information.
Yes, just for information. There are several things going on for the 2050 MTP update. I'll just go over this very shortly. The socioeconomic data development, we're still working on the 2050. That's the projection year data. The intern, Rizvika Dara, she keeps on working on it in coordination with Edward, who's taking the lead. And for the travel demand model, Asia and Rizvika finished checking the functional classification and number of lanes for the Chatham County model. And planning area boundary, the Quorum PO board approved the boundary in June, and CEC actually didn't take action, I think, at that meeting, so because it didn't have a quorum. But MPO board did approve the boundary, and then we are starting to coordinate with GDOT to get revenue projections within the boundary for the next 25 years. For the contributing plans, the freight plan is almost done. All the deliverables are available for review on the website. And non-motorized transportation plan, Asia is going to give a presentation on that. She has some analysis. Urban flooding model study, Anna is going to give a presentation on that. Wrapping up in October. And the US 80 corridor study, actually Puller gave a presentation this afternoon at the TCC meeting, and the deliverables are online on the Quorum PO's website. I'm posted over there. And the CAS mass transit plan is completed, and the CAT also gave a presentation on the master transit plan this afternoon. I just want to let you know, even if CAT and the Puller are not going to present at the CEC meeting, all the presentation files are attached under notices. So you can see the information over there. We have a new transportation planner, Genesis, and she's going to take the lead on the CMP update, congestion management process, that will contribute to the 2050 plan update as well. And Anna is also working on the resiliency planning. So considering, and she's also provided comments on the freight resiliency, because we do have a technical memo on freight resiliency. She already provided comments and had a virtual meeting with the consultant just to go over the more details on the resiliency planning she's expecting. She's also checking EV and the green infrastructure and all that, storm. Public engagement, we are still trying to plan for the second round of public meetings, maybe not as extensive as the first round, so we are not going to have 40 some meetings. So maybe a high level, three or four meetings, in person or virtual, to give the public update on the plan development process and then feedback of the surveys. And then we will focus on the draft of plan development probably in October. With all that information that has become available, so we will just put that information into the draft document and probably have the draft ready in March 2024. And then after that will be the third round of public involvement and then the comments, public comments and the agency comments from Federal Highway, Federal Transit, GDOT, and then the 30-day public comment. And after that, we will expect to adopt the plan. Any questions?
I have a question. It's more on the public engagement part of it. I know you mentioned that you wasn't going to do the extensive round like you did the first round. But will the engagement part only include meetings and a public comment forum? Is there something else that you guys discovered in that first round of public engagement that y'all want to bring back for the second round? Or is it just going to be meetings and a public comment forum?
I think the third round might be more intensive. The first round we got more than 40 public meetings and events. So that's basically launch the survey and let the public know that we're updating the plan. This second round is just basically we collect the survey. We want to give the feedback to the public. So what was your input during the survey? So we will present that information and also some of the draft recommendations or maybe final recommendations from like a freight plan, from the urban flooding model, from non-motorized transportation plan, from the US 80 corridor study, and the master transit plan. So these would be some of the recommendations that is in a like big list. And from all this compiled big list, we'll come up with this fiscally constrained 25th. So this is just like status report for the second round. But the third round would be when we have already selected, because you might have like 100 projects or something, right, based on the recommendations that I just mentioned. But you might have 100, you might have like 60 projects that included in this. So that's when we're going to present to the public. This would be the process we did, the prioritization process, and these would be the projects to be included in this fiscally constrained plan. So the third round will be more intensive. The second round is just to let the public know that we are not ignoring you. We collected input, and this is the results that we compiled.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Okay. Then I'll go over the freight plan as well. The freight plan, if you open the status report, you will see there's a link to the freight plan website. And as you can see, all of the deliverables are ready here. And we are trying to schedule we are actually inviting comments on these deliverables. And after all these deliverables are finalized, we're going to have the shortened final summary into the task 8 document. And we're also scheduling the last meeting. Last ADFAC meeting probably will serve as a public information meeting as well. We will still test the second week of September if we can have the meeting, because the purpose of this last meeting is to just invite public comments or just to outline what comments we have received and how we address those. I know because of the hectic timeline, we might have a lot of conferences going on in September. But if we have the meeting in October, that might be too late because the study is wrapping up in October. So we will see whether we can still do the second week of September. If it doesn't work out, we will do October. So we still, in that case, the consultant still has about 2 weeks to address the final comments. So yeah, so if you're interested, just you can read through all these documents and pretty intensive actually. And try to send us the feedback as soon as you can. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you. We can move on to the urban flooding model study update.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anna McCory, project manager for the urban flood model study. So I took over as project manager in June, also when I started at the MPC. In July, we received task 2.1 deliverable, the SWIM, so the stormwater management model. The second part of this, the hydrographs, are going to be ready at the end of this month, which will be essentially the outcome of the model. But I'll do a little quick demo for you just so you can see what that model looks like, kind of a sneak peek of what's to come. Other tasks such as the social vulnerability metrics, financial stewardship, and project prioritization tool are expected closer to October, and the final deliverables will be submitted October 31st or by October 31st. We're expecting to have a final presentation from the consultants or from UGA in October. Great. All right, so, oops. I'm just going to open up an example of what one of the SWIM, the stormwater management models, looks like, just so you can see it. So essentially, the SWIM is used throughout the world for planning, analysis, and design related to stormwater runoff, combines and sanitary sewers and other drainage systems. This was developed by the EPA to help support local, state, and national stormwater management objectives to reduce runoff through infiltration and retention and help to reduce discharges that cause impairment of water bodies. So this is a one-dimensional model. It's not necessarily a flood map, but it can give an approximation of where areas flood. So what you're looking at right now is a drainage basin. There's no map underneath it. And in the next report with the hydrographs, you'll be able to see where this is, but this is the downtown drainage basin. And so what this can tell us is the capacity of a manhole, where it's likely to flood, and then where there might be overflow. And that means that we can focus more infrastructure resources here. So from a planning perspective, it's going to be able to tell us more about our stormwater needs and where we should maybe invest more. So just quickly on this, in the model, they've based it on 10 and 25 year events. So it's pretty cool. You could change this within the model. So essentially, stormwater engineers in the MPO could use this information right now. It's only in Chatham County based on data availability and where our boundaries were when the study started. But it's based on like a 25-year rainfall. You could do 10. There are different inputs for these lines or pipes. These little triangles are outfalls. And then you can change information or inputs such as sea level rise or no sea level rise, time, rainfall events, and they've provided a lot of this information already. And so we're going to get to see kind of the outputs of this model in this next deliverable. And so you can see all this on the studies website. So if you're interested in finding more, go to studies, the flood study, and then right here, you'll see a link to an explanation of what the SWIM is, a zip file with all the actual files of the models, and then a link to the EPA website where you can download the software to view it in for free. So if you need any more information or have someone that is interested in looking at these, feel free to direct them over here. That's it for me.
Thank you. Do we have any questions?
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
Number six on our agenda, the non-motorized transportation plan update status report.
Hi, everyone. I'll be giving that status report. Let me just open the presentation. So Core MPO has been going through an update of its non-motorized transportation plan, and this presentation will just briefly describe some of what we've been doing with this plan. So in terms of recent activities, we've been collecting data to analyze current bike and pedestrian conditions in the area. So some of that data includes bike and pedestrian volumes, origin and destination data, crash hotspot analysis, and also a level of comfort analysis of our existing bikeways. We also had a steering committee meeting last week for further discussion and input on some of this data. So I'll just jump right into it. I won't go too deeply into this, but this is just kind of a snapshot of some of the data that we are looking at for this non-motorized plan. So this is specifically the bike volume data, which tells us where people are biking the most. And then this is just a closer look into the Savannah area in terms of where people are biking the most. And then we also have similar data for pedestrian volumes as well. So the darker the line, the more pedestrians are walking there. And then we also have kind of a closer snapshot of that data here. And if you would like more detailed data, I have a longer presentation. I just wanted to keep this one short. And the source of this data is from Strava Metro, which is a really great resource that supplies free transportation, bike and pedestrian related data, which is great because otherwise this data would cost a lot more if we had to pay for it. But this is not the only data set that we are using. We are also using data from the census and the American Community Survey on vehicle availability and commutes. We're also trying to get public input so people can tell us what they need and where. In-person observation is another method that we're using to determine where resources are needed. And then we're also going to do a deeper dive into this data to see if there's anything that could be skewing the bike or pedestrian volumes. So the origin and destination data is also from Strava Metro, and this is essentially telling us where a lot of the bike and pedestrian trips are starting and ending. So we can see from this data that a lot of them are starting and ending kind of near that downtown area within Savannah. And this is just for 2022. We do have the origin and destination data for other years, but I just want to kind of give a brief snapshot of what this data looks like. We also did a crash hotspot analysis to show where some of these crashes are happening the most. This is just one map of the crash data that we got from New Metric, and we can see a concentration of pedestrian crash density within the Savannah area and also a little further out also in the Savannah area. And then we also see similarly the Savannah area sees a higher density of bike crashes as well. And we're going to look into that deeper too to see some of the specific intersections and streets where we're noticing crashes the most. We also did a level of comfort analysis. And a level of comfort just refers to how comfortable the biking conditions are to the average person. And it's rated on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the most comfortable and 5 being the least comfortable. The parameters for this analysis originated from the Athens in Motion plan and uses speed limits, functional classification, and bike lane design as factors to determine the comfort of that bikeway. And so we did this, we applied this methodology to the existing bikeways that we have in the area. And this is just a closer look at that methodology and what level of comfort 1 through 5 means. So 1 being the most comfortable that even children can use pretty easily, and 5 being the least comfortable, and which pretty much no one should be using those bike lanes. And so this is just a map of the results of that level of comfort analysis. The easiest to use bike lanes are kind of concentrated in the Savannah area, and then the hardest to use are a little bit more in the more spread out areas of Chatham County. And with some modifications, specifically protected bike lanes with a barrier, maybe some of these medium difficulty bike lanes could become easier to use. And then this is just a breakdown of the level of comfort. So the majority of the observed bike lanes had a level of comfort of 1, and very few had a level of comfort of 5, but we still want to kind of bring those 3s down to a 2 or a 1 if we can. Other observations made with this analysis is that a lot of bike lanes were inconsistent in size and design. So a bike lane on a street may just suddenly change in the way that it looks, which might be confusing to the bike lane user to see something go from a very designated painted bike lane to something more narrow, not really resembling a bike lane. Also, due to lack of signage or painted or physical designation, sometimes it was hard to tell where a bike lane was located, which makes it harder to use. Additionally, intersections were hard to navigate and understand. So there were some bike lanes that were easy to use until it got to an intersection. And so we want to review some design guidelines to make those easier. So the next steps is to use this data to create a project list for the bike and pedestrian, for bike and pedestrian resources, and then present that project list to the community for input. And then also review some of the unconfirmed bike lanes to assess their level of comfort, just because we were unsure if some of the bike lanes even existed. Sometimes it was hard to confirm if it existed at all. So we want to go back and look and see. And then also do more work on the sidewalk and crosswalk deed side of this plan. The adoption date is June 2024, and the completed project list is expected to be done in February 2024. Are there any questions or comments? All right.
Thank you so much. Next on our agenda is the FY 2024-2027 TIP development.
I would just a bit quick on this TIP development. So we are behind, not behind schedule. The original adoption date was targeting August, but it didn't work out because we didn't have all the information to develop a TIP. GDOT didn't provide us updated revenues, and the CAD was didn't send us updated information either, so we didn't make it for August. And the statewide TIP is also changed their schedule to October as well. So we will start and probably develop the TIP. I will probably have a preliminary draft, the second draft, ready for Federal Highway and Transit GDOT review at the end of the month. And the public comment period will start in September. So we were targeting for October adoption.
Any questions? Thank you. Last on our action items is the MOU membership dues restructuring and bylaws.
Okay. Some of you who have been here know that we are updating the MPO boundary, MOUs, and the bylaws because of the census change. Savannah urban area has expanded, and so as a result, we need to expand the MPO's metropolitan planning area boundary. And actually, we presented to you in February, in April, and in June, and So you saw the methodology and how we delineate the MPO boundary. And in June, the MPO board adopted the boundary. So that's the first step. And then we can start to develop our MOUs and finalize the committees and the membership, and out all of that information into the bylaws, and also start to have the fee structure, membership dues, fees structure. We actually had a workshop this Monday with the member agencies about the just proposed the methodology for how to calculate the dues. And then we had a meeting on Wednesday with ACAT and CEC representatives on how to consolidate these two committees into a transportation equity and a public involvement committee. I'm still developing the bylaws regarding that. So in that case, this committee probably you are not going to be presented all the information like we presented to all of the committees. So you will have a more focused area. So if you want to probably just to target one specific project at a meeting or something, so we will just do something like that. So you're not going to have a broad level. But if you're interested in that, we will still provide that information to you just in case. But we want to be more productive, so have a focus. So I'm still working on the bylaws and MOU. I'm going to show you the MOU, the draft MOU. So I think we're going to continue to work on the MOUs and the bylaws and the fees probably in September and October, and targeting probably have individual or virtual meetings, and then hopefully to have all of that adopted in October. By the MPO board, And then we're going to send all that information to the local municipalities and the modal representatives, including CAD. So after we get all the signature, we will forward the whole package to GDOT. And then they will sign, and then they forward it to the governor's office to get the final signatures. And then by that time, we will be operating under the new structure. So now I'm going to just go back to the MOUs, which actually completed yesterday. So the current MOU, all the red text would be the ones where I have made changes to the current MOU. And this is like including, this portion includes the all those expanded area. So the new municipalities, for example, Guyton, Pembroke, Springfield, Rincon, so all those new areas are listed over here. And then you can see the boundary. Previously, we have Chatham County, a tiny, two tiny fingers in Effingham County, and the Richmond Hill in Bryan County. But now we're expanding all the way, not only Chatham County, but the, all of Chatham County, all of Effingham County, south of State Route 119, and then all of Bryan County except Fort Stewart. So that would be our new boundary. And as I said, the CEC Citizens Advisory Committee and Advisory Committee on Accessible Transportation will probably be consolidated into the Transportation Equity and the Public Involvement Advisory Committee. And this is what I, we will have a focus on equity and public participation. So you will advise the Core and Bill Board and then probably Chatham Transit Authority Board as well, because of the ADA and access to the buses, and access to, the paratransit services, to the bus stops. So you will provide information on that. And you will probably oversee several documents, participation plan, because you still be the public participation agency. So you will still oversee the development and, development update and maintenance of the participation plan and the Title VI program and environmental justice, and then language assistance. So this is the language. So please review this paragraph of this meeting. Just let us know whether this works for you. So just let us know. And then also we're going to have a new committee established that is focused on planning and implementation of a bicycle and pedestrian and trail projects. And that will be the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And that language is outlined over here as well. And we also added some bulletin point actually that MPO does, but wasn't listed before, like including the Title VI planning process. And the TIP used to be updated annually, and now it's like every 3 to 4 years. So also that language has been updated in this. And all these are signature pages. And then Appendix A, you can see this is the boundary. This is the approved boundary by the MPO board. So all of Chatham County and Bryan County, everything except the Fort Stewart and Effingham County, south of State Route 119. And then the dues structure, we're still working with the municipalities on the dues structure, particularly the Bryan County, probably they will meet internally. Bryan County and Richmond Hill, they will determine how they split their dues. And then Effingham County will meet with their own municipalities and tell us how to divide up their dues. And Chatham County, currently Chatham County pay 25% of the municipality's share of the membership dues, and the municipality pays 25%. So they need to have a coordination meeting about how to do that. So I have all this information, and just to clarify, so if you just take a look at this after this meeting and just let us know what you think, especially concentrate on the new committee, because I got rid of the language that was describing CAC and ACAP because we want to consolidate those two. So into this transportation equity and public involvement committee. So just take a look at this. And if you think something it is appropriate or it is not appropriate, just to let us know because this is still a work in progress. So I think from between now and then the time that we adopt it, this is still a work in progress project. Any questions?
Thank you. Moving on through our agenda, of course, agency reports are listed under our notices. If you have any questions or comments about that, please let us know. I do not believe we have anyone online, so no public comment. Our next CAC committee meeting will be October 19th at 5:30 p.m. I hope to see you all there. And with that, I will adjourn.
Thank you.